with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. I think that's worth singing again. How about that? It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Choir practice is at 5:30, all right? Brother Mark.
All right, well, hello, all you beautiful people. Hang on just a moment. Hello, all you people. Hey, it's a beautiful day today. It's a great day. Why is it a beautiful day? Because the Lord made it, and he let us be a part of it. Right? All right. Celebrations of birth and marriage. Let's see what we got today. Birthdays. Diane Johnson on the 16th. Brian Dorian on the 18th, Jamie Baker 19th, John Potter 19th, Jeannie Wampler on the 20th. Any we missed? Anybody got a birthday and you'll own it? Anybody? Nope. All right, anniversaries. Let's see what we got this week. Larry Gallion. I'm giving you a heads up, my friend. You got this covered, right?
Yeah.
You got it covered. All right. Here's an amazing coincidence, too, by the way. Jerry and Beverly, did I see them? I don't think I did. Jerry and Beverly have an anniversary on the same day. That is pretty amazing. What is the chances of that? But yet, here they are. Hey, I see Buddy. Buddy, welcome back. Good to see you, man. All right, any other anniversaries did we miss? Any anniversaries? Nobody wants to own that one, do they? All right, well, thank you all for being here in class today. I'll read the updated prayer list here in just a moment. It's good to be here today. We're going to have a good time. We're going to hear from, we have a missionary family we're going to hear from today. Brother Dan, are we doing like the interview type thing today? All right. And there might even be questions and answers from the audience at the end. Actually, there's not. I just made that up. But do you guys remember a few weeks ago, remember the family from Australia? Y'all remember that? I was dying to ask about koala bears because I love koalas. They're like not my favorite animal, but one of my favorites. And I had to wait until the very end, so that's why I threw that out there. I don't know if you guys have koala bears or not, but I'm going to go ahead and ask right now up front, so... No koalas. Okay. All right. So we're. I don't care about any other questions, Ian. So we're good. All right. No koalas. I do love koalas, though. All right. All right. Prayer list updates. So listen, we have two. Mary's granddaughter starting college. I have two kids starting college next week. Some of y'all probably have kids or grandkids starting. They're all kind of getting going back. So. And then we have Xander with cancer. Is that the right name? Did I get Xander Pierce with cancer? Okay. All right. So that's our two. If you have any updates, additions, deletions, whatever, make sure we keep this up to date. The prayer list will be back there on the back table, so update it before you leave, okay? Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then Mr. Dan will come and continue our class. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the day that you gave us. It is a beautiful day because you created it. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And thank you for the blessings of this class. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins that we can be saved. Thank you for offering the free gift of salvation. And Lord, I pray that your blessing on our time here together, bless our missionaries as they open up their hearts and their lives to us, that we may be able to see a part of them that normally we wouldn't see in like a regular type of a service. And Lord, bless their work and their ministry, and just bless our class here today. And we do want to pray for all the kids that are starting back to college here pretty soon. I know there's several here from our church going back, and we want to pray for this one with cancer that's been mentioned. And cancer is a deep valley. Most everybody here has either had cancer or had somebody close to us that's had it, and we know it is a deep valley to walk through. But I think of the same God that's the God of the mountains is the same God that's the God of the valleys. And so I pray for this one with cancer that you walk with them through this valley. Be the one that's right there beside them, strengthening them, giving them hope and strength and courage. So, Lord, once again, bless our time here today, and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
And you are live.
Thank you very much.
By the way, I didn't insult you. I did it with my right hand. Remember from last week? Right. Although, man, that would have felt... I didn't announce this. I'm not sure if that's...
That's coming right now.
You messed up, don't I?
I don't know what to say. I'm for the first time in my life, I'm speechless. We like Brother Mark. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Mark. Amen. On the note that he mentioned, Bev and Jerry Lovegrove, they are today. They're in Virginia doing some disaster relief, and they asked for prayer. They said that it's a mess up there, and the families are devastated. But the morale, as far as the attitudes of some of the families there, it's surprising how uplifting they are in spite of everything that's going on. So let's pray for them as we go into that. You saw the videos that were just on a loop this morning, and there's a reason, and that is, it's going to tie in with a lot of things this morning. Several of you had to give up some very comfortable chairs this morning. You probably noticed those rascals went and took out the good chairs again. On that back row. And the reason we had to do that is God has been very good to us here lately. And we're experiencing growth in our church. And so we had to take some of these chairs and place them in the back of the auditorium just to raise the comfort level there in the service. And temporarily, we have some more black chairs in here. However, for months now, we've had more of these chairs ordered, and they tell us they're supposed to be here any day, you know. But as you know, in today's economy, any day could be next year. Yeah, you never know. But they've been telling us that it is pretty close. And just so that you know, we have quite a few more chairs that are ordered for this room, and then also to put in the auditorium. So thank you for your patience. The reason they took chairs from our room is because they know that our class is more spiritually mature than most other classes. And we could take it. And great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So, amen. And so that they knew that. So it was just a given. So we're growing, and that's a wonderful thing. As we grow, there are, and you've seen the renovation that's going on with the children's wing upstairs. They're almost ready to reveal the one end, which is the first phase. They're already, this month, are already using one of the rooms up there for the kids for Sunday nights, for kids on a mission. And so the kids have already tasted a little bit of what the new rooms look like. And we're really excited about that. Brother Bill Magnus here in the back. We've got several. Brother Cox is the one heading up the renovation. So you got several folks here in this room that are involved in that renovation, and they're doing a great job. It looks amazing. As we grow, though, more service opportunities pop up. And one of those is in the nursery. Now, I know, you're going to say, listen, I put my time in. The good Lord knows. The good Lord knows I put my time in. But what we're asking for, and Brother Bobby is going to come up now, and he's going to give us some details. I think you'll like what he has to present. And if we do not take care of the nursery, we won't grow. Period. That's just bottom line. You say, well, what's the nursery got to do with it? Well, we're inviting newer families to come in and younger families, and nothing against us old people, but we're not going to be around for forever. And we want young people, and we want young blood. Last Sunday night, and I'll say this, and I'll turn it over, but last Sunday night, the foundations class, they did all the prep work for the ice cream social, and they knocked it out of the park. They did a wonderful job. That's the young people. And we like to see that. So as a church, we are going to get the younger families to step up and do some of that grunt work that we did for so many years. Amen. But then there's some opportunities that we can fill in at, and I'll let Brother Bobby take care of that.
Thank you, sir. The three folks that I asked to hand some things out, we're going to hand those out. If each lady would take one of these. Everybody knows that the nursery is the gateway of not only our young families, but our new families that come to our church. And the good news is like, I think last week we had 22 packed into a small area back there. So one of the things that we're doing right now is we're eliminating a wall to make that space more usable so that we can serve more children, more families, but have but do it with a similar amount of workers. But what we need right now are workers. Now, what do I do in the nursery? Nursery is basically broken down into two parts. You got those who need to be held, and then those who move. And those who move, they may be, they're everything from wallowing to walking. And some people love to go in and they love to take care of those who just want to be held. They just want to hold that little bitty baby. And then others can sit there, and a lot of times it's sitting there watching oversight of those little ones as they run around and play. And that's one thing, if you've worked in the nursery before, it was compartmentalized and it needed to be, but now the flexibility of opening it up and giving them more space just to have toys and things like that to walk on, climb on, it's more oversight. So that's what we need. Here's what we're asking. We put in front of you today a little card, and it tells you a little bit about how many workers we need on what Sunday. This is the 11 o'clock hour. That's the time that we have the most people in on our grounds, is that 11 o'clock hour on Sunday morning. We have dedicated folks that take care of Sunday school. We have dedicated folks that take care of Sunday night and Wednesday night, and they do an amazing job. I'm looking at Miss Briggs, and she is, I don't know, she's about to get real happy right now. but they do that, and they do an amazing job. And you may go back there, and you say, you know what, I don't want to sign up because I don't want to change a diaper. There's just something about that one little thing about the nursery that I just don't want to do. Angela Davis is in charge of our nursery, and she says we need willing people that can come back there, and here's the biggest key of it. We need folks who are willing to come back there, work with the small children, connect with these families as they bring their kids back there, and let them know that they're welcome, and let them know that we want them to grow and learn, and someday be Sunday school teachers, be workers, be bus workers, be all that we need them to be. But we got to take care of the nursery first. So we're looking for roughly 10 plus ladies to work in the nursery. Here's what you need to do to qualify. Check your pulse. Be a member. And then just be willing. So there's two things I'd ask you to do today as you consider signing up. Think about if I can sign up maybe one or two Sundays a month through May of next year. We're not asking you to do this. Dan has the good term till Jesus comes. We're not asking that. But this gives us an opportunity to fill this up, work through May. Some of you say may want to work longer. Some of you may want to say, you know what, I'll do this, but I want to take 6 months off and do it again. That's perfectly fine. But right now we're looking for folks that can help us through May of next year. And then beyond that, have that willing, happy heart. Now, one other thing. Some of you have been sitting there when Larry Russell comes by about 11:06 on Sunday morning and goes, "Hey, can you work in the nursery?" We need folks who John Rourke, Larry Russell can come to on a Sunday morning when we're just overloaded or whatever and say, "Yes, I'm ready to go." So if you want to just be that alternate and be ready and be available, sign up. And that might even be if you're in the choir and you say, "Well, I don't really can't do that." But if you're in the choir, but you can come be an alternate afterwards, that might be a good option for you. So critical thing that we have, I am so glad we're bursting at the seams. So we have a sign up. The sign up will be in the back. And the week beside it, if you just want to be an alternate, just put alternate beside your name. And that way, they just know that somebody, when they tap them on the shoulder, they'll be ready and available. So thank you all. And Dan, we look forward to the missionary.
Thank you very much. Just before he comes, there's not much I remember as far as details about my childhood. I do know that my mom and dad left for the mission field when I was about 4 years old. The whole reason my mom and dad got saved is because several of us, five of us at that time, for 1 year, there was a guy that stopped by our house and he picked us up and took us on his bus to church. And after that year's time, a couple of us wandered across the street of our home, as it turns out, into the home of our Sunday school teacher. Now, I don't remember lessons from when I was that young, but there's something very interesting that I remember. It's in my heart. After every Sunday morning, before we left that classroom, I was 3 or 4 years old at this time. I remember this. We would sing this, "Into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." I never had to learn that. It's there. And to this day, I don't know. I know that she sang that after every class. I remember that. I just wanted to share that with you. You never know. You just never know who you're holding, who you're helping, who wipes their dirty nose on your clothing. You never know. God has great plans for a lot of folks. Well, wow, I just about got teared up, and I don't cry. So here we go. We've got a missionary here today. Brother Colton, come on forward here. And we happen to have, I know of, two young families. This is their first time this Sunday, and they have children in the nursery. Eleanor Hensley and Doug Lee. Yeah. They're in the nursery.
I know that last one.
You know the last one.
Yeah.
It's Brother Colton. Brother Colton, introduce yourself, your wife, and tell us where you're going.
Good deal. I'm Colton Lee, and then I'm joined with my lovely wife, Melody. And in the nursery is Douglas Micaiah Lee. He's about, his last name's Lee too, so that's a good last name there. Anyway, he's about 18 months, about a year and a half, and he's our first, Lord willing, not our last, as God provides, but he's just been just a joy to have in our lives. God's blessed us so much. And we're going to the Solomon Islands, which is northeast of Australia in the Southwest Pacific. If you find the Pacific, it's at the bottom left, you know, and but if you don't know where Australia is at, I really can't help you. So that's about as far as with that.
All right, so we're having trouble hearing Colton here. I don't know if we've got you on or what, but right. We'll get you on if not. Is he on?
I could just holler a little.
Okay, louder. So maybe turn him up just a little bit. Why the Solomon Islands?
A couple years ago, if you were to ask me why the Solomon Islands, I'd probably say where. Several years ago, and even prior to meeting my wife Melody, the Lord just seemed like he was opening up doors all over the world, really. And it was kind of one of those situations where doors were opening up, and I felt like the Lord was taking these, you know, that I ought to take these opportunities, and maybe this would be the ministry that God would lead in my life to have. And these opportunities were in South India, Northwest India, in Fiji, in the Solomon Islands, in Yap, Micronesia, in Madagascar, just really a little bit all over. And all these opportunities were not things that I was trying to, you know, like kick down the door and make happen. It just happened. And one of those trips was the Solomon Islands. And that was where a friend of mine who's a missionary on the main island of Guadalcanal, he had a medical issue in his family where he had to come off last minute. And he had really just been about 2 years into a church plant there that God was blessing, had about 30 or 40 people attending regularly. And he's now put in this awkward spot of he had to leave the field and didn't want to just dump this ministry that God had so blessed. And so he contacted his mission board, which I was an associate missionary with, which is kind of just a for the where I was at in life as far as that goes. It was really just a organization that allowed me to have financial integrity. I wasn't really a missionary. My church wasn't using that mission board in its full capacity, but they were just an agency that was handling money. And the mission director, Brother O'Malley, John O'Malley, he had said, "Well, there's this young guy that has been doing, you know, has a pretty flexible schedule. He could come and take your place for a little bit." And so we had known each other's name, the missionary on the field and I, but we had not really spoken prior to that. And so we had a phone call, and he said, "Okay, well, can you fly out like next week?" It was something that sudden. And I had wondered why about a month and a half or 2 months of my schedule was just blank. And I think the Lord answered that at that time. And so I took the trip out just to help him and just to, you know, be on the same team, really, help that ministry there. And that was just about a month and a half's time. And then when I had no intent, that was not a survey trip. I had no intention going there full time. But I remember as I left, and my wife and I had we hadn't met, but we're not married yet. I remember as I left thinking that there's something more that, you know, God would like me to do in the Solomons. And about a year or so later, my wife and I got married, and we began praying for more of a specific direction where God would have us. And he kept putting the Solomon Islands back on our heart and our minds. And so we took it to and presented it to our then home church and now sending church and said, "This is where we think the Lord is leading for us to do church planting work," and brought to our pastor. And they took a bit of time and then conferred and thought that the Lord was leading us there. And that was about 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, they became our sending church. So that's a little bit of why and then the process God led through and then that being recognized by our home church. And that's up in New Hampshire where we go to church at. We live in southern Vermont, but our church is in southern New Hampshire. All those states are tiny and kind of mashed together up there. So,
good. Let me ask you this. How long have you been on deputation right now in your fundraising?
So we've been on deputation for about 2.5 years. We were really smart and started about 2 months before COVID. And so that was a pretty crazy time. I say it tongue-in-cheek, of course. We had several months scheduled out, and we were thinking, "Oh, this is great. You know, people say weird things about debutation, but this seems pretty good." And then COVID hit, and there was one particular Saturday where I got a phone call from about 8 different pastors, and it was, you know, the several months ahead. And all of them said, "Brother, the fire of God has fallen, and I alone am escaped to tell thee, and we have to cancel this upcoming meeting." And it was really just sudden, and I thought, wow, this is weird, you know, and surely this will be over in a month or two. And as you guys lived through the last couple years as well, that's not exactly how it panned out. So but God's blessed. A couple months ago, we were at 30%, and then about like a month happened, and now we're at a little bit above 60%. So imagine spending 2 years to get to 30%, and then in the time of about 30 days, you're now at 60%. So it was, we were just doing the math, you know, if you're trying to plan things out. I was like, "Okay, we're going to be on debutation for about 6 or 7 years, babe. I think, you know, this, you know, I'm just saying this how, okay, 2 years, 30%, I can do the math. You know, I'm not my mom's dumbest child. That's my brother's position." And that's a little over 6 years, babe. So, you know, just got to, you know, plan our feet down and stick with it. And then the Lord just really chose to bless in a particular month. A lot of churches were voting. And it was like, whoa, I was redoing the math. And I was like, "Babe, we're at 60%. Like, this is nuts." So that's been very
exciting.
Time
to pack the bags.
Yeah. Well, we really, though, we're setting somewhat of a date area, which is the fall of 2023. So about another year here in the States. And we'll plan on then actually getting on a plane and moving out there. So it's kind of crazy saying it. It feels surreal. I mean, it's awesome. I've never moved, moved to another country to live there. So that kind of, it almost sounds like, yeah, we're going to do that thing. Well, how are you going to do it? People have told me different things. I've never done it before. We're just gonna kind of do it, and it kind of sounds a little crazy, but we're convinced God is in this and God has led us, so we're excited.
What's the schedule look like for you these days?
So we, by God's grace, we're scheduled out until November, pretty much a different church every Sunday. So during this debutation time, we knew it was going to be a couple years. Just, obviously there's people that tell crazy stories, like we raised our support in 2 months, or something like that. Or, God's blessed different ways for different people, but we just anticipated it's going to be a couple years. So my wife began pursuing her nursing degree, and so she'll graduate this December with her LPN. And that was going to be her RN when we thought that we were going to be on deputation for 6 years. We thought, well, maybe just keep pursuing that. But then when we jumped up to 60%, we said, okay, we need to find a good cutoff point, and that's going to be our LPN. And so that after this December, we'll then begin, this fall I'll begin scheduling 2023. Last year what I did, I was able to schedule all of 2022 in the month of October and November. At least what I have found is a large percentage of pastors are looking to schedule the next year in October and November. So there's obviously some churches that schedule us like 3 years out, and I have to then buy another calendar for a couple years ahead and then circle that date. Okay, remember. But from what we've experienced is the vast majority in that October-November time has been a sweet spot of scheduling. So Lord willing, we'll fill up 2023 and we'll be planning in the fall to head out.
I'm going to get a little more personal than that.
Sure.
So we were talking to them about their hotel reservations and everything. We mostly schedule our missionaries to stay Saturday night and Sunday night, and they usually leave out on Sunday morning. And Brother Colton said, hey, we don't need that Sunday night. We're driving home to Vermont, after church Sunday night. And I'm like, boy, to be young again with a child, And but the real reason, after I got to pry in a little bit more, is?
I do roofing. God's really given me an awesome opportunity to work for a deacon in our home church. And when COVID happened and our schedule dropped, he said, hey, I know you're not a roofer, but I'll hire you like one and pay you like one. So he roofed some really, really nice Vermont houses. So a lot of people, when they think of Vermont, they think of, Bernard Sanders or someone's third or second home. And someone has to roof those third and second homes, or second and third homes. And that's really what his company does. So God's given me an awesome job to learn the trade of roofing through him. And so I'll be working Monday, be on a roof there.
He'll be on a roof Monday morning. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. And
I personally function just, we all function differently in different ways. I don't do well. Like, this might sound kind of, I'm not like a crazy person, but I don't do well having like many days off and not doing things. I don't feel good. I'm in a weird funk when I'm not doing stuff. But I function really well when I'm busy and when I got stuff. So it might kind of sound, I don't know, some of you can relate. Maybe some of you are like, oh, that's, no, just, sleep Monday, travel Tuesday or whatever. But it's just, I function best when I'm like, I got something else I got to do. And so anyway, that's my next thing to do.
Hallelujah. What kind of house will you be living in? Do you know?
Yeah, so some of it is guesswork. Some of it is talking to a missionary on the main island that can describe what it will look like more. It'll be like a cinder block concrete structure that likely someone in Australia will probably own. And they'll rent out to various people of various occupations that have to do work in the Solomons. It's not exactly like you can, rent from a particular village leader saying, oh, yeah, you can have this lean-to of sorts or something. And so the island that we're going to go to is much more remote than Guadalcanal. It's much more primitive. When you think of, South Pacific Island culture, even maybe, some Fijian culture in east of us in Fiji, kind of that remote culture, that's a lot more of what Malaita in the Solomon Islands is like. Obviously, there's a city there, and that's where the more closer to first world things you'll have. And we plan on living relatively close to the city there, but that's because that's where we want the church, Lord willing, the first church plant to start in Auki, the city there. But it varies. It's on a spectrum very much so as far as how the living conditions of the people go. But as far as the housing that we intend, it's just going to be some type of concrete, cinder block type structure that we're able to rent. And we'll figure out the more nitty-gritty specifics of that in our first 6 months, because our first 6 months will be on the main island of Guadalcanal. It'll be a little bit less than 6 months, but in about approximate time. And during that time, we'll be able to take a boat trip back and forth to Mileta, figure out a place where the church will meet, figure out a place where we'll live, kind of be able to get all that set in stone, lined up. And then we'll actually have a launching date when we move there.
How do you get there from here?
So the first, really, if you're going to have to get a flight there, if you're typing it on Google, which is, that's how I've always figured out a flight, you'll type in Guadalcanal, and the time I went there, it took me, I think I was in Charlotte to JFK, JFK to Dallas, and Dallas to LAX in California, LAX to Honolulu, Honolulu to Fiji to the Solomon Islands, I believe, was the next stop. You can go an eastern route, which probably looks like something like JFK, then Heathrow, maybe Abu Dhabi or Dubai, somewhere around there. And then one of those flights will take you to Sydney on the western side of Australia, or Brisbane, depending on how you want to pronounce it, on the eastern side of Australia. And then that'll be like the last step then is east or west Australia to the Solomon. So it's really on the other side of the world, you know. And so you really have to, you got to think through that. Okay, how am I going to get there? Well, okay, I got to hop, all the way around. And my the only other missionary that we are aware of that is like faith of us, and I know there's, there's a sensationalism about missions to want to say all these different, this place or that place is 110% unreached, never heard the gospel. And there are places like that. I don't mean to, if I presented to you that there are places that do not have the gospel and I said that, there are places that don't have access to the gospel. In the Solomons, though, there's just a unique history there because gospel bearers have been there and in centuries past. But something that we need to take into account is that it's every generation's responsibility to bear that light. And there's been a lot of perversion of New Testament teaching and the gospel and the Bible in the Solomons. So my other friend that is a good missionary there on the main island of Guadalcanal, he's just been able to get back because it's been locked down since COVID until July. So the last 2 years, you could not take a trip to the Solomons. There was a way sort of to get it through Australia, but you're looking at, and I kid you not, like a $50,000 to $80,000 one ticket. Like that sounds ridiculous, but to get through Australia during like the height of COVID, where you had to quarantine and all the different process, like there was a big disincentive that they made for people for that. And so you didn't have people no one paid for that, unless it was, someone who printed money in their closet or something. Anyway, so he just got back to the Solomons last week, about last week, and it took him 6 days. So from leaving to actually getting there between layovers and, having to wait for updated COVID shots, or not COVID shots, but updated COVID tests and all that stuff, it took him 6 days to get there. And that was a pretty expedited route. So just kind of give you an idea.
Looking ahead, what are some of the biggest adjustments and challenges that you anticipate leaving here, setting up shop there?
Sure. I think there's just, there's a lot of things that we don't know, and there's a lot of things, that talking with people, there's really two missionaries that are familiar with the Solomon Islands that I know about. One of them is an evangelist in Eastern Australia that has taken a bunch of trips, probably about 30 trips in the Solomons for a couple weeks and has come back. And I try to talk with him as much as I can. And then the other missionary on the main island. And so I think there's the fear or the concern in my mind that there's a lot of things that I don't even know what question to ask. Like there's just cultural things that I think about. I'm a pretty stubborn person, believe it or not. I know. There's things that I think a certain way about, and I think just trying to be careful that I don't burn bridges unnecessarily with something that I don't find a big deal. So one of the examples of that is, so the Solomon Islands has been very taken advantage of by like prosperity gospel preachers like Kenneth Copeland, Joel Olstein. Some of these guys, they've made pretty regular trips there, and they'll gather together these large Catholic groups, these Seventh-day Adventist groups, these broadly Protestant groups, and they'll gather them together and have like healing services of sorts. And there's a lot of blurred lines. So when I say Catholic, Solomon Island Catholic does not look like American Catholic, and that goes the same with a number of other kind of mainline religions or how we define them. And so you have these big name preachers that they'll set up shop and they'll heal people, and they'll take their money and all this stuff. And my thought is, I'll get there and I'll say, hey, Kenneth Copeland, he's taking your money. You know, don't give him a dime. He's not being used of the Lord. That's not what the Bible says whatsoever. And my missionary who has a ministry on Guadalcanal has said that's been one of the harder issues, that people view these, I say false teachers, I think the Bible would line that up and say that, people view these false teachers as men of God and renowned men. And if you start beginning your message with, Kenneth Copeland said, and it's a problem, and we need to look at what the Bible says, and you might come off as a God hater. And it sounds odd to think through that, but there's just a careful way to go about that, where you really do earn the trust of the people and explain that, okay, the things I'm telling you are not like my opinion versus someone else's opinion, but we're really trying to look to the scripture and what's God's opinion. And it's not that I have like a private interpretation of that and I get to tell you what it says, but it's like, what does it say? Let's read it together. And I think that taking that time and even situations like that, situations that I don't even know about, but I presume that there are other cultural differences that I just don't know that I, or I know that I don't know, but I don't know what they are, that I'll need wisdom in. So that's a broad concern of ours, just being total different cultures. In a huge way, like literally the other side of the world. So,
what language do they speak? What's the economy like?
Yes, so the economy is big on exporting fish and wood. Mahogany trees are really big in the Pacific, as far literally, and then the industry is big. And a lot of Chinese companies will come in and will, you know, buy an island essentially, or the rights to harvest the trees on an island, and then they'll level it. And that causes a lot of animosity between Solomon Islanders and the Chinese, and so there's a lot of prejudice going on there. So exportation of fish as well, but a lot of people don't have jobs. It's fairly easy to grow things and fish for things, and there's a lot of other countries that give handouts to the Solomon Islands, where you really can be in the city and not work, and you'll have food, and it's a pretty easy climate. You don't really need, you're not going to freeze to death, or there's enough shade and places to go around and water for you to survive. So it kind of makes for an interesting height of poverty there. But then you have extremes, because the Solomon Islands is beautiful, and you'll have China and other countries, even Australia and different places, will basically buy either islands in the Western province or chunks of beachfront property, and they'll make these beautiful resorts. But you won't see in Solomon Island or inside of it. You'll walk into a resort there, and it'll feel like you're in China or something, because everyone is Chinese. Or you'll walk in and it's like a little piece of Australia just came here to the eastern side of Guadalcanal. So that's kind of makes for an interesting dynamic as far, and even adds some prejudice towards those groups, because there's a sense of feeling taken advantage of. As far as their language go, their main language is called Solomon Island Pidgin. Sounds a little bit like lo name blo mihem colton, lo missis blo mihem melody, mi fala garum plan go, lo place blo name Solomon Island, and hem preachum lo word blo God. Mi save hem needum churches built for lo glory blo God. So here's some English words in there, and that's because it's a unique language for, and really a beneficial language on our side. About 50 or maybe a little bit more percent of their vocabulary is English. So imagine going to a place and you're thinking, oh, a new language. Oh no, maybe I am my mom's dumbest kid, or something. You're like, oh no, what's going on? And then you start learning the language, and you're like, wait a second, some of these are English words. They're just spelled different. They're like spelled phonetically. And so that's Solomon Island Pidgin. There's a unique history of it connected with World War II and its development during that time. And World War II took all these islands in that region and kind of, with British, Great Britain's help, kind of declared them one people, though they don't feel like one people. Like the island that we're going to in the last 20 years has tried to revolt twice, each time kidnapping the prime minister and saying, make us free. And it's like, that's not how that works. And they burned down parliament buildings. And they're actually just this last December, you can go and look on, there's videos of them, a bunch of Malaitans, that they, walking down the main streets, burning different buildings down and trying to say, make us free. Malaitans don't want to be a part of the Solomon Islands, but they are. And so there's a lot of interesting things going on there right now. But yeah, they speak Solomon Island Pidgin. I kind of went a number of different routes with that.
You're fine.
I was saying, wait, what was the question again? It was the language, and somehow we're talking about Malaita. And anyhow, but no. Each island has another language. It's pretty common for people to know about four languages. They'll know Solomon Island Pidgin. They'll know a very little bit of English. You know, they might say, "Mi sabe English," like I know English. And then you say, "Okay, that's great. Well, I'm from America. Good to meet you there." And they'll say, "Mi no sabe English," you know, and it's interesting because the Solomon Island Pidgin language, really, if you went over there, I'm not a linguist at all, and I mean that, like, I'm not just trying to, like, you know, humble brag, no, really, but you go over there for about a month or so, and you know English, and you're just kind of thrown in the mix of it, by the end of that month, you'll be surprised, you're like, oh, I'm having conversations, and I understood what they said, and you know, I'm saying, and because there is a very simple way to structure certain sentences that will communicate what you need to communicate, and you're drawing from so much of your own vocabulary that it really is quite easy to put together. And I'm not just saying, you know, well, you're young, and it might be like that, you know. It might be easier being, you know, in your 20s doing that, certainly. But I praise the Lord that so much of the vocabulary is English, for sure. But they also do know, you know, like Guadalcanal has its own, the natives there, you know, they'll know their language. I don't remember the particular name of it, but then Malaita will know one or two different languages, and then in the Western Province, he has all these different islands, and there's, I think, several dozen languages. There's all these tiny little islands pieced together and say, oh, that's one state, you know, and all these different tribes and villages are like, yeah, we have our own language, so, okay, I guess we're a part of the state now, and so they'll know multiple languages. It's just a different culture in that regard. I haven't known or been talking to both missionaries that are familiar with the culture there, they have both indicated that there's not a barrier with speaking Solomon Island Pidgin. You know, you might be familiar with the idea of, well, is that their heart language of sorts? And certainly I think there's some truth to knowing someone's heart language, but their culture uses all these different languages quite regularly. And so I think that it'll be... currently with, you know, I'm sure I'll learn more as we get there, but I think currently it'll be sufficient for us to get a hold of Solomon Island Pidgin and have an effective ministry with that.
Melody, so that they can hear from you, when you hear how far it is, how hard it is to get there, you're thinking the possibility of us getting back here to the States shortly after we arrive, that's slim to long time. What goes through your heart?
That's a really big question. I think, first of all, the Lord has been preparing me for this ever since I was very young. The Lord placed within my heart a desire to serve Him on the mission field. And I remember reading missionary biographies of people going into the remote jungles. You read about the Elliots. You read about many others that went through hard times. And a lot of these people put their caskets on the ship and said goodbye to their family forever. And you wonder, what would make a person do that? But then you realize there are many places all over the world that have never heard the gospel. And we have this great news to tell them. But then you also come to 60% in your deputation. And you get ready. You start making plans. You start thinking about buying tickets. And you have a little boy. And you hope the Lord will bless you with more children. And you also realize there's not a lot of medical help there. And many of these people don't understand basic hygiene and how to be clean. And so very inconsequential illnesses in the U.S., are deadly over there. And you begin to ask the Lord, this is a lot to ask. I'm fine with this. Colton's fine with this. But what about my children? I want to keep them safe. And I don't want anything to happen to them. And the Lord really draws you close to Him and tells you, you know what, I have a plan. And I am your protector. And I know what's going to happen even before you see this. And it just grows your faith, and He continues to bring to your mind, I left the glories of heaven for you. Will you leave the comforts of the U.S. for those who've never heard the gospel? And it takes time to get there, and some days it's a new challenge, but you continue to run to the Lord.
So dependence on Him becomes very, very key.
Yes.
Family?
Yeah, I'm very close to my family, and Colton's very close to his. And when we moved to Vermont, my mom was very sad. And I said, just look at it as a little bit of a preparation for the other side of the world. And we are extremely blessed in the 21st century that all I have to do is pick up a tiny computer I can hold in my hand, and I can see my parents' face, and our kids can see their grandparents. Whereas hundreds of years ago, you might get a letter, you know, you never know. You just hoped maybe someday I would see them before heaven. I don't know. So we are blessed to be able to have modern technology.
Do they have
Wi-Fi?
Yeah. Yeah, just in 2019, they got the internet. You know, so you think of how long, you know, the internet, we take it for, or at least my generation, I've always pretty much lived with some form of the internet. But in 2019, a cable was laid between East Australia and the Solomons that gave them high-speed internet as we know it today.
Wow. Well, thank you.
I wish we had more time to see more of their heart. But you know, when you're faced with something like this, it's not something that's taken lightly. It's something that's taken seriously. And so our job as a sending church, not their home church that's sending them, but our job as representing them and backing them up, you see where prayer becomes so vital to just daily existence.
Yeah.
Not talking about the financial end of it, but prayer is so important. Colton and Melody, thank you so much for being with us. You are our honored guests today, and it is our privilege to be able to consider you as our missionaries and to back you up. And I can tell you this, you're looking at a good group of folks who have a missions heart, and that's a good thing. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege that we've had to just get a small glimpse, and it just doesn't do it justice with the little time that we have, but Lord, you've given us a small glimpse of the heart, of the need, of what to expect. And Lord, we know that it's not been taken lightly. Help us to know exactly what you'd have us to do and the part that you'd have us to have in sending the Lees to the Solomon Islands so that some little boy can grow up one day and sing that little chorus, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Help us to keep that into perspective. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.